This is In Focus on News Radio 1350 KMAN.
And a good Monday morning to you. Welcome into In Focus, News Radio KMAN. And today we are joined by Riley County Historical Museum Director Cheryl Collins, who joins us in studio. Thanks for being here.
Good morning.
We talk to Cheryl once a month here on KMAN, and always look forward to the December program because that's when we get to talk holiday traditions. Always, always a lot of fun.
Lots of great holiday traditions.
And really a lot of folks, when they celebrate Christmas time, usually it's, you know, the parents will have memories that they had from when they were children, and they pass those along from generation to generation.
In fact, they're unconscious, I think, because I remember the first year after my son was born, my husband and I had a disagreement about whether Santa presents were wrapped or unwrapped. And as far as I was concerned, everybody knew they were wrapped. But as far as he was concerned, everybody knew they were not.
Yeah.
But the big challenge is the penmanship and signing it from Santa.
Right.
You know, you have to use a different colored pen, and then you have to write it, you know, and, you know.
Right.
The ones that you give have to be in cursive.
Right.
And Santa prints.
Oh, Santa always prints.
Santa prints.
Well, that makes sense.
And you don't want to run out of Christmas wrapping paper. You don't want to have birthday wrapping paper.
Oh, right.
This is something we have to really think of, because my daughter has a birthday 9 days after Christmas.
Oh, so. Yes. You need to differentiate that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Can't have Christmas presents at birthday time, birthday presents at Christmas time.
I use old maps for my Christmas wrapping.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, the ones that are too old to use anymore.
Yeah. Well, that'd be exciting. Well, it's always fun to talk holiday traditions, and one thing before we were gathering ideas here for this program was, you know, one of the things I always enjoyed is the old radio programs that maybe don't air as much as they used to these days, but were very big in the 1940s, 50s, 60s. People used to put on radio plays at Christmas time.
Absolutely. I was really fascinated in going back to look at the tradition of having a special Christmas radio program. And all of these radio programs like Jack Benny's Show and Bob Hope's and Fibber McGee and Molly and all of those would always have a special Christmas installment. And it's really fun to go back and look at those or hear those, look at them, I guess, in your own mind.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, some of the big stars of the day, Bob Hope was one of them, Jack Benny. Everyone loves Jack Benny.
Yes, and he's really funny. He had a kind of a running gag in his Christmas shows. He had a Christmas shopping episode each year in which Jack would go to a local department store to shop for his gift for Don Wilson, his longtime announcer. And of course, Jack was rather frugal,
and, and to say the least.
And so he would be looking for the best possible bargain. And then normally he would take the present back two or three times in order to get something better and cheaper. And the dialogue between the store clerk and Jack Benny and all of the rigmarole with getting this gift bought and delivered was pretty funny. And so kind of year after year, they would do a running joke with that Christmas shopping episode.
Dave, do you remember growing up listening to any of these programs here, being a radio buff?
I've listened to some of them, but it was after, you know, after I was a kid.
Right.
But I've listened to some of them. And, you know, Fibber McGee and Molly, my mom and dad just loved Fibber McGee and Molly. And Jack Benny, too. And he had such a deadpan delivery.
Yes.
That, you know, he was one of those first self-deprecating humorists.
Yes.
And just funny as the dickens.
Well, I saw that Jack Benny's radio career began in 1932 and continued for a long, long time, clear through the 50s.
Yeah.
So, and then, of course, I remember him on TV.
Yeah.
It was probably my youth more.
Sure.
But very, very funny. And Fibber McGee and Molly went from 1935 to 1959. So that's kind of the golden age for these shows. But they are very, very funny.
Yeah. Well, radio was the only means of entertainment for a lot until televisions came along, and, you know, primarily in the 50s and 60s.
And it was something families enjoyed together. Mm-hmm. I mean, they would sit around the radio and
listen and laugh.
So it is really fun to go back and hear some of those. And they're available now.
Yeah, yeah. There's not a lot that a radio theater, as you would have called it, you know, and probably the one that gets the most attention in terms of radio theater had nothing to do with Christmas, but it was War of the Worlds with Orson Welles.
Yes,
with
very
the invasion,
memorable.
The UFO invasion and, you know, the havoc that that caused. And that was, what, 38, I believe?
And that kind of shows that power of imagination, because one of the things that radio can do is transport you in your own mind. And War of the Worlds transported some people into some scary spots.
And I think one of the most fascinating things, and I can't remember the name of the movie, but, you know, seeing all the different things that they used for sound effects. And if you listen to anything about Fibber, McGee, and Molly, there are a lot of sound effects that were involved there, from opening up doors and everything falling out of the closet. And just, I mean, just it was absolutely hilarious and very creative in what they utilized day-to-day items for their sound effects.
Yeah, Fibber McGee's closet is something that lives on today.
Yes.
I mean, I've heard people refer to that.
I have 17
recently.
Of them.
Well, do you want to? Should we listen into a clip of Fibber McGee? We have
absolutely
a clip
play
here.
It all you want.
Okay, it's a 14-minute clip, so we won't play the whole thing. But let's listen into a little bit of it here.
The Fibber McGee and Molly Show. Every weekday at this time, NBC brings you Fibber McGee and Molly transcribed. The show is written by Bill Leslie and Ralph Goodman, and directed by Max Hutto.
Always have those long intros.
We'll join Fibber and Molly in
distinctive
just a moment.
Music.
There's one question that probably causes more sleepless nights than all the others put together. It goes something like this: how can I save money when I hardly earn enough to keep going? That is a serious question because it involves your future and your family's. But it's not hopeless. True, it's not easy to save money at first. But once it becomes a habit, it's the simplest thing you ever did. Provided you choose a plan like the payroll savings plan for buying United States savings bonds. It's the easy, painless way to ensure your future security. Just ask your employer to save a few dollars from your paycheck. Every time enough money accumulates, your employer buys your savings bonds for you automatically. Those bonds now mature in less than 10 years and pay you $4 for every $3 you put in. The payroll savings plan can mean extra money for your future. Join today. You'll feel more secure tomorrow if you buy United States savings bonds today.
They're still around.
Isn't that beautiful, dearie?
Yes, it sure was.
You have been listening to an hour of recorded Christmas carols featuring some of America's foremost choral groups. Your station is WVIS in Wistful Vista.
Turn it off now, huh?
Got it. Oh, this is a mighty fine life, sweetheart.
Yep.
Cozy fire in the fireplace. Beautiful Christmas tree with presents piled around it. Good friends dropping in all day. Hasn't it been a wonderful Christmas?
Christmas will always be wonderful, Molly, as long as I got you.
Well, what a nice little speech. Aren't you sweet, dearie?
That's what everybody says. Yep. Now at the Elks Club, they all say, ain't McGee sweet? Around Kramer's drugstore, they say, that McGee, he sure is sweet.
Oh, dear.
Over at the Chinese Laundry, they say, Hong Gao Fu Yak, which translated means...
Mr. McGee is sweet?
No, that means if Mr. McGee beeps once more, I'm going to starch his undershirt.
Ah, you're cute.
Hey, did you like your presents, kiddo? I mean, did you really like them? You know, were you surprised?
Completely surprised.
Good.
The perfume was the biggest surprise, of course.
Yeah, I knew it would be.
I said to myself, he gave me perfume the last 3 years, so I know he won't give me any perfume this year.
That's what I told Doc Emma when I bought that perfume. I told him you'd figure it that way, so I knew perfume would surprise you.
And the purse, it's just beautiful. Perfect.
Yeah, I picked it out myself.
I could tell.
I figure if I got your brown purse, you'd have to wear brown with it, see? And black purse would just go with black clothes, so I got a purse that'll go with anything. Red, green, purple, and orange.
I love it.
Boy, this robe sure is a knockout. Feel like a millionaire in a silk robe. Never had a silk one before.
It becomes you, dearie.
How'd you know I wanted a silk robe? You didn't swipe one of them letters I wrote to Santa Claus, did you?
If you mean those little notes that said, Santa baby, bring me a silk robe that you left pinned to the shower curtain and pasted on my compact mirror and under your plate at breakfast. No, I never noticed them.
It just shows to go you that when two people live together as long as we have, you can read my mind.
Yes, even the fine print.
Don't forget, Christmas isn't over yet either. Don't forget, I'm taking you out for dinner tonight, any place you name. And the swankier, the better.
That's just going to be wonderful, McGee. But do you think you should spend the money? You know, you spent so much on me.
Forget it. Money's no objection. What's money? Besides, I got the dough all saved up for this.
Well, there's some wonderful places to eat.
You just pick the place, that's all. Pierre's, the Sump Room, the Ritz Vista. How about the Snark Room down at Carol's restaurant?
Well, it ought to be someplace so special. I think I'll get the paper and look through the ad.
Look out for the Christmas tree, kiddo.
I see it. You know, I think we should have put this tree in the corner there, McGee, instead of out in the middle of the floor like this.
It's too pretty to stick away in a corner. I don't want anybody to miss this tree.
No one's missed it so far. Everyone's bumped into it at least once.
Yeah, but you notice when they finish putting the ornaments back on, they always say it's a beautiful tree. That's because...
Company. Merry Christmas. Come in.
And a Merry Christmas to you, my dear. And even to you, Sonny boy.
Oh, thanks, Docky. Watch the tree. Watch it.
Gee, I'm sorry. It's a little close between the tree and the doorway here. Where'd this ornament fall from, Molly? Did you notice?
Just hang it back any place, Doctor. That's it.
It's a beautiful tree, Molly. In fact, your whole house looks pretty. All the Christmas decorations and everything. This is a rough time for a bachelor, you know that.
Well, we feel pretty fortunate, Doctor. It's been a wonderful Christmas.
Yep, and I'm going to wind it up by taking her out to the snazziest place in town for dinner, Ducky. Got any suggestions?
Oh, there are a lot of good places to eat. The swankiest place in town, of course, is that new English spot, Marlborough House.
Oh, I heard Mrs. McDonald, the president of the Third National Bank's wife, tell about it. They say it's great.
Oh, if it's good enough for the banker's wife, it's none too good for
product
us.
Product placements.
Do you know anybody there, Doc?
Yes,
yeah,
product.
Yeah, Callahan and I eat out there quite often. Know Lord Cobbleton very well.
Lord Cobbleton?
He's the maitre d'. Mention my name. He'll give you a good table.
Where? In the kitchen?
Oh, gee.
Well, that's what Doc considers a good table, right next to the roast beef. Right, Ducky?
As a matter of fact, Ducktail, when I'm sitting across the table from Miss Callahan with the candlelight and the soft music, I don't much notice what I'm eating.
A likely story.
She's a pretty girl, Doctor.
Molly, if you could have seen her out there the other night in her new blue formal...
Formal? She wears her formal to dinner?
Oh, sure. Everyone dresses for dinner at the Marlborough. Oh, you'll love it out there. Well, I gotta get moving, kids. I'm picking Doris up in 20 minutes. We're going down to Bijou.
Yeah, what you gonna see? What's the main feature?
Her beautiful blue eyes.
Oh, sure.
Merry Christmas, kids.
So long.
And that's just a little clip of the show here.
Well, the relationship between those two. I mean, and I don't know if they wrote their own scripts or not.
I think they were writers. And of course, that's Jim and Marion Jordan.
Right. And just, I mean, it was always a little needle, especially at him.
Right.
She was always good at giving it back. That's
and all
stuff.
The reoccurring characters, Wistful Vista is the Midwestern town that they lived in.
Mm-hmm.
It has kind of a homey, peaceful feeling to it, I think, most of the time until, you know, trouble occurs.
Until trouble occurs. And there, that happened often, didn't it? Every episode, trouble occurred.
We'll have more in focus after this. News Radio KMAN.